the NFL podcast. We'll squat in your Airbnb.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis. I'm coming to you from a city filled with heroes in bunkers. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hey-o. Hump day. How's everybody
doing? Hump day, hat day.
Hat day. Wes, any pressure now that I'm wearing a hat and Mark's wearing a hat, Greg's wearing a hat, that you perhaps should be wearing a hat?
It's a little weird because it used to be, you know, when this show first started, you go back 6-7 years, I was the one wearing a hat almost every show. In fact, I remember a few times when TD tried to get me to lose the hat, and I said, who are you to tell me to lose my hat?
Yeah, those TD, were the first.
Well, TD, by the way, our old producer, who is now, I believe, the right-hand man of LeBron James. Over at whatever.
I don't think he's like the right hand man. It's not like, all right, it's like two person meeting, LeBron and TD. Let's decide the future of this company.
I think it is. And we saw TD in January at the Super Bowl before the world ended. And he seemed to really be, you know, he looked good. He was talking confident. He had a nice stage set up over at Radio Row. I think TD is making some good decisions in life.
Good for him.
What is the name of that company he works for?
Uninterrupted. It is nice that you and him have mended fences after your offensive imitation of his mom really caused some friction between you.
That was problematic.
That was great. I always had a really good relationship with TD, but that was the one time I ran afoul of him. He said, "You could do whatever you want, but don't talk about my mother." I think he said,
which is right there.
Yeah. I did nail the impression. I mean, that should
be. No, you did not. I think part of the issue was that you were about a mile and a half off from an accurate impression of TD's.
No, it was dead on. He just didn't like it. Was felt too real to have her in the conversation.
I think it made everyone uncomfortable.
Well, that's what I'm here for. Somebody's got to, you know, spice things up, especially in these times.
Well, I don't know if we need to be giving you that title either, but in that specific case, you made people uncomfortable in the wrong way.
It Dan. Really spiced it up.
All right,
when you
all right. World's
Jamaican.
Biggest Padres fan. Keep talking.
Hey, listen. I'm just, I'm monitoring that Austin Hedges Francisco Mejia catcher battle there. I mean, you're gonna have to platoon them both, I think, a little bit, but I'm plugged in.
Wow, you were ready for that because Mark like looked off screen at some Padres
notes what's gonna
that
happen,
he had up
because
on his computer.
Again, I bought this hat as a celebration of Wes's bachelor weekend when we went to a Padres Reds game, and you know, I have no loyalties to the Padres, but I knew you were going to come at me and say I have, you know, my baseball narrative doesn't exist. I don't know anything about baseball compared to you. You guys, please. I don't know.
Also, Daniel Jeremiah's favorite team, so you guys have that in common.
Oh yeah, we are linking up.
The hits
hard
keep
on that
coming.
One.
We're almost a year out from your anniversary, right? We got to be, Wes. That we was almost a year ago. We were all in Tybee Island together, right?
It was 5/19/19.
Ooh,
yep. We're about a week away.
It's a good thing you didn't get married on 5/19/20.
That's true.
My goodness.
I've talked to some people who are getting married this summer and they're still going through with it, a lot of them, but their party has been reduced from 200 to 30.
Probably ends up saving them, you know, in the excess of $5,000, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000. So
I think it's doing
they might look back on it, see is it a blessing.
Not to mention the overly expensive honeymoon that, you know, a couple years out feels excessive.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't do it again any differently, but do I remember a lot about my wedding day? Not a ton. And then when you factor in what, you know, the guap that was dropped on it, it's like maybe something a little bit more stripped down and not a travel wedding and all that stuff. Maybe that would have been the way to go. I don't know. But that's just me.
You're only one man trying to fight an entire wedding industry. I mean, you got no chance.
That's true. Coming up on today's show, we are going to get you caught up on what's really turned into a slog on the new NFL news end of things. It's slowed down, and I think we all expected this to happen now that Free agency is over. The draft is in the rear view. Even the schedule release is gone. And now it's a matter of trying to parse through, you know, players giving interviews to various news sites or columnists and virtual workout updates and things of that nature, uniform rollouts. That's what we got for you today. Now, we're gonna do it the best we can. We're going to entertain. But are you going to hear anything news-wise, what we're about to do, that's going to change the way you view the league or make you think differently about your team? Maybe, maybe not. No promises. That's our sell for today's show. No promises.
I like it.
Let's do some news.
The one thing that I really trust about Tom Brady is just who he is as a person. What is happening on this the episode of this podcast?
What was that?
I have no idea. I did not come up with that.
It's nice. I do.
Where is Erica?
I do. Maybe it was
Ricky. What is that?
I think that was from Friday's show. Was that from our network show?
No, you went on a podcast, Mark, and someone tweeted it out. And you went in this whole serious monologue about how you trust Tom Brady as a person and how he handles the off season. And I saw it.
So I am going to spend the rest of my day finding out auxiliary shows that Erica has appeared on. The one thing that I really trust about Tom Brady is just who he is. I am now on a mission, and it is going to be a dangerous one for all involved.
You retweeted it. Like, it's on. It's
I have
out
no
there.
Problem with the fact it's that it existed, fair. But, you know, to pull quote me in that manner.
The way Tom
I will...
Brady handles the off season is just something to admire.
I would like to have someone do like an analytical deep dive on Mark's podcast appearances elsewhere, because he might be a totally different person and analyst. I feel like on a different podcast than he is here.
Well, I think that it's, you know, it's completely. I'm a lesser person when I'm not, you know, eternally attached to four other people in every single thing I do. The one thing that I really trust about Tom Brady is
that will be fine. If just,
you know, I honestly, you are simply adding to the arsenal at this point.
He's like, when he's on other podcasts, he's like, you remember George Will used to talk about baseball?
I am not like George
Will. He's like that. He's like a wise old man, you know.
All right, I've added Greg to the I'm going to go find stuff that Greg has done elsewhere, and it's going to be an absolute you know, a quotation massacre. You're all going to feel the heat.
Will there be cats involved?
Cats?
Yes. Will there be cats involved or different shades of blue?
No, I don't trust cats. You know that.
That was your last bit of revenge.
A little bit more than cats.
Let's get into it. The NFL has extended its virtual off-season program through at least May 29th. Originally, it had been set to run through May 15th, so now another 2 weeks have been added. This is not an unexpected situation. I mean, we all know that the initial hopes back in March is that a couple of months of discipline would lead to things getting on track. And in fact, here in California, they just extended the stay-at-home order to shelter in place through the end of July, so it essentially wipes out our summer. So it's going to just happen everywhere in the league. Even as things open up across the country, as things slowly begin to open up in the NFL, it's just not going to be as fast. Teams will continue to hold Zoom meetings with players. Workouts obviously won't be done together. Everybody's out on their own. This can have major effects on how football ends up being played in September, if football is played at all.
Well, as you alluded to, some states are opening up, some states aren't. And Mike Tomlin, Steelers coach, came out pretty strongly in a statement that basically this goes against not just the NFL, but football in general. The way it operates, everybody must be on equal footing or you don't have a fair sport. And this buys them 2 weeks to work with, but eventually they're going to have to confront this situation.
Well, one part of the statement that the NFL released that was clear was the workout programs are concluding by June 26th at the latest, regardless. Whether it's virtual or you can get back into the building, it's over by then. And this you know, I'm not saying it's a surprising move, but they did kind of quietly announce that they were hopeful to maybe start phasing in some facilities reopening on May 15th. It was just, you know, just a couple weeks ago that they thought, well, okay, maybe some injured players, some medical personnel would be like a small percentage of people start coming in. And so that's already been pushed back. And that might be the first phase. And who knows, that might be allowed here in California. I mean, even though it's not going to go back to just everything's back to normal, I think that's going to be the case everywhere through the summer. There are some phase reopening even here. Beaches, for instance, are reopening. There are some businesses. And so maybe they'll be able to figure things out. Maybe NFL Network will reopen at some point. We have no idea, though.
The one group of people that I would think about in all this is, you know, it's nice to have players back at some point, but there are a vast chunk of NFL coaches and building personnel that are over, they're in that age range, the older age range, where corona is excessively dangerous for them. Like, I'm not hearing much about that, but are you clumping all these people back that typically would not, if they had another job, would not veer out? And I'm talking in the cities, in Los Angeles and New York and stuff. They wouldn't leave their homes to face any sort of a danger, but if they're an NFL employee, they have to go back into the fray. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying the NFL is saying to do that, but it's an X factor.
Joe Judge, the Giants coach, made an interesting point on Tuesday, asking like, well, these players are all over the country. It's not like, hey, we can just go drive over to the facility. Right. Some players can, but they're all over the country. And he said, you know, I wouldn't ask my sons to get on a plane right now, so I don't want to ask my players to. And then, you know, that's a first time head coach.
And in related news, we touched on the NFL schedule release on Monday's show, but just wanted to add here that Roger Goodell said last Thursday that the 2020 schedule is going to be flexible. And one of those, one bit of flexibility is that they are building in week two opponents all have the same bye week. So that will give, in case, I guess, the beginning, or what was scheduled to be the beginning of the season, if that ever got wiped away, those two teams can be, you could figure out where to build in a matchup later in the season. This is all stuff, again, it's all up in the air right now, and the NFL is just trying to do the best they can, just like everybody else.
I think one thing, I don't know if it helps or hurts, but it's just going to really instruct the NFL and our experience with this, is that the other sports, in theory, are going to go first or have a chance to. Whether it's baseball or basketball trying to come back in some form this season, you know, NASCAR is returning this week, you know, without fans. Like, there's, you know, the Premier League in the UK is, you know, talking about maybe they're going to get back to get, like, those are all going to be taking steps, and whether that happens or not, but like, the whether that goes well or not, like the lessons they learn, like, that's all probably going to be ahead of the NFL, and they're going to end up taking their cues, you got to think, essentially from what happens in every other sport.
Well, the NFL is also monitoring, I believe it was soccer in Germany, that's attempting to get back on the field, because it's a closer sport in terms of how much contact and physicality you'd have. I mean, that's nice. They can open up not NASCAR, but you're huddled right inside an automobile. But football is a completely different. And, you know, Dr. Fauci mentioned this in his interview with Peter King, that the ability to transfer coronavirus from one person to the next in football is a different situation than any other sport, really. There's a lot to adjust
Mark,
to,
greatest,
you know.
Greatest NASCAR driver of all time, Mark Sessler.
Petty.
There you go. A little Kyle Petty action.
Richard Petty.
The greatest
NASCAR. I think it's Tom Petty.
The greatest NASCAR driver in history?
Give me one.
Junior Johnson.
All right. Greg.
It's Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy Johnson.
Junior Johnson. Tom Wolfe wrote a big article about him in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
Well, there was a
Our Jimmy podcast Johnson. Numbers in the South are going through the floor right now.
Jimmy Johnson Greg. Is a current driver who's tied for the most championships ever. I think Dale Earnhardt might be tied with him. Let's give old Dale
Number
Dale
three. Earnhardt. That's the answer. Number three, Dale.
Jeff Gordon.
Yeah. Nobody brings up Dale Earnhardt. He was
Bobby Labonte.
Or the Eliminator. What was his nickname?
Essentially Greg's answer, wasn't it?
When I worked for the post office, Mark Martin was my fantasy NASCAR driver.
Hey, I'm a Fontana 400 Auto Race Speedway 400 season ticket holder. Two straight years. I'm signed up. I'm back there next year.
Put that on your Twitter bio.
And I was just testing you. He wasn't the Terminator. He was the Intimidator. Number three, Dale Earnhardt.
All right.
Moving on. Ricky, how about you? Favorite NASCAR driver ever?
Jeff Gordon, duh.
That would be yours.
So you're attracted to Jeff Gordon based on your inflection there. Okay. Ricky, way into Jeff Gordon physically. We learned that today in the news. Moving on. Sammy Watkins. Who's that goof, the guy that was the GM in Buffalo? The last thing he did, really, was trade up to get Sammy Watkins. Was it Whaley, Doug Whaley, right?
Didn't work.
Wasn't that Whaley's move?
That was Doug Whaley's Whaley. Good memory, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on now. He went all in on Sammy Watkins, and it was kind of billed at the time as, you know, Whaley's last stand. This guy's got to be a star. Sammy Watkins was never a star with the Bills, and we learned more about him in a feature written by Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports.
No, it was Tyler Dunn.
By Tyler Dunn
of the Bleacher Report.
All right, everybody calm down.
Don't give it to the aggregator. You got to go to this source.
Frank Schwab, big spot for Frank Schwab.
I do like Frank.
Took away Frank's moment.
I like Frank.
Frank's
a nice guy.
Known him a long time.
Good guy.
I happen to enjoy Frank's aggregate write-up quite a bit. Tyler Dunn of Bleacher Report, you know, he really got the quotes you want. He got the juice on Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins was drinking too much of that juice, Greg Rosenthal, during his time up in Western New York, and he says that contributed to his downfall there and his issues staying on the field and being the star that the Bills and Doug Whaley needed him to be.
Yeah, he said he was in a really dark place in Buffalo, that he went out and he got, in his words, wasted every night.
Italic, right? So he was saying wasted.
Right. And saying
you got to hit the italic.
Saying that contributed to his injuries and his immaturity. And there's a lot in this article that is fascinating. You're trying to hope he's over the, you know, his mental hurdles that he's gone through. But then there's other stuff in this where he's very much back and forth. The thing to me that struck me most about how it could impact, you know, moving forward is, you know, he said very clearly he's not coming back to the Chiefs to be like the fourth banana. If he doesn't get his 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns and 100 catches, I think he threw out, then there's going to, I forget what the words were, but there was going to be hell to pay, essentially.
That was also before he signed the extension, though.
Right.
Right.
Like, I don't know, reading this thing, I came away with incredible sympathy for Sammy Watkins, to be honest. I mean, he talked about when he was in that dark place in Buffalo, that there was some legal stuff happening with his, you know, circle of friends that sent almost everyone he knew to prison. He had four family members die, and, you know, and the drinking and addiction was hurting his body. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's like you have to be accountable for your role. But, I mean, he was fighting through some stuff that is incomprehensible to me.
Well, my two takeaways from this were, one, there's no such thing as a can't-miss prospect, and he's exhibit A there. I mean, in a draft with Odell Beckham, with Allen Robinson, with Mike Evans, he was the consensus top receiver, one of the best wide receiver drafts in history. No one mocked the Bills for trading up for him because he was that highly thought of. Who knew he was going to have a drinking problem and be out? I mean, you would think that they did their homework and they still didn't know all this. And the second takeaway is it's really hard to go through life alone. He sequestered himself. He didn't have a mentor. He didn't have a teacher. And then even still today, the way he's teaching himself, I admire him for trying to learn. But you have to have a base of science if you're going to look into all this stuff. Mm. And he admits he had no base. He didn't pay attention in class. He didn't do anything. And now he's decided to learn 24/7 for 6 months on YouTube, and he believes all kinds of stuff most of it outlandish. Some of it's pretty sensible, but most of it outlandish.
What did you think about the like dark energy stuff in the different worlds?
That's the part
him believing he was an alien and stuff like that. I feel like Mark is the guy who wanted to hear.
Well,
on that.
I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, I think I agree with Wes that he imported a lot of information from shaky sources, and it's like a lot of his views don't even seem to jive up together. But I mean, it also went through, and Tyler Dunn does these articles really well, and he's done a bunch of them, but it went through the Twitter mill where he was just being picked apart, I think, by a lot of people that didn't even read the piece.
Right.
And yes, his views are out there, but if we're at the point where someone who believes in alien life is a lunatic on Twitter, I don't know. I mean, like,
I
just
have
a problem
with
that.
Alien life stuff that I had.
Well, there's a bunch of other stuff. Like, I wouldn't vouch for all of it, but there were. I think he just is dealing with aspects of things where he's not gotten the full helping of knowledge on some of it, or gone down that road. He's a young guy who. It's weird. Mike Tyson went through a phase like this. I remember reading about it in Sports Illustrated, and he started spitting out quotes that I honestly thought. Like, is this actually Mike Tyson speaking? Mm. Like, the stuff coming out of his mouth was like, when he went to jail, he started reading amazing amounts of stuff and was figuring things out. It's someone who hadn't had the benefit of the same education that, you know, someone else comes out of with a scientific viewpoint. I mean, Watkins, like, to your point, isolated to a degree that bad things are going to happen. And I don't know.
If he can control the mind of an opponent and the action of an opponent, as he says he did when he had 198 yards in the opener last year, why not do it every week?
It's no one's That's, saying everything
I
he
guess
said
that was
makes
my,
sense.
My feeling about what was what? Give me a little more context on his comment that heads are going to roll or whatever if I don't get my stats and my yardage.
He said
he's had many years to do that.
Now he went back and forth a lot, and I think look, he's a searcher, and I think he's, you know, he's up and down. It seems like mentally throughout last season he admitted, but what he said was before he even resigned that if I do resign, if I don't get, you know, my 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns and 100 targets, then it's going to be World War III. And that, you know, that's what he said.
Cool. I mean, it just seems like everybody's a huge fan of this guy, but where's the accountability?
No, I'm not.
He also,
career,
no, you know who is,
when he got the whole building fired and when he's those comments like that, and a guy who's been a historical underachiever.
All
I mean,
I'm
I
saying
think there's
is
that, there's that side of the story.
He's emotional,
too.
But you know who is a huge fan, and I really respected even more, not that I needed to, was Andy Reid in this piece. Andy Reid knew how to connect with him, and Andy Reid means a lot to him in his life. And like, he seems to be a huge fan of Sammy Watkins, and Patrick Mahomes seems to be a huge fan. But you do get worried that if things don't go well, and he talked about that there's other members of the Chiefs that he believes has dark matter and dark energy, that, you know, that is something that I'm sure concerns Andy Reid too, that he wants to make sure that stays above board.
Right, and when we're saying everyone loves him, I'm not trying to come out as some sort of pro everything Sammy Watkins said, but the darkness and the addiction that he dealt with, you know, that's not simply out of his own actions. I mean, that's thrust on some people, and you know, that's not a new story in the NFL either. I mean, Brett Favre dealt with that for a long time, and it nearly destroyed his career and got out of it. So my hope is just that Sammy Watkins, that this isn't the final thing that we remember about him.
It should be said that he made one of the biggest plays of Super Bowl 54, juked or just blew past Richard Sherman and made that huge catch down the sideline late in the game and went 5 for 98 on 6 targets. So he's had one of the more, and he's still a young guy. I think he's 27 or 28 now. He has flashed throughout his career. He's never put it all together. And I think with professional sports and watching this Jordan documentary, that to be a star and to be successful in some ways, the mental side is just as important as the physical. And maybe there are aspects of his personality that have held him back from ever achieving his full physical capability.
I think he would agree with that. It is really interesting how he's played his best in the biggest games. He also made the game-winning catch in the AFC Championship this year against the Titans. The play that really put the Titans away. He also dominated against the Patriots in that comeback, and you know, was one of the most valuable Chiefs in that game. Went over 100 plus yards. So it's crazy. He's even though he's kind of been a disappointment for the Rams and the Chiefs, he had some big moments in big games.
I think he's also one of the few players on NFL.com to have two Making the Leap articles written about him. So. you know, that's pretty, something he can.
That's
he
pretty
can
heady
all right,
stuff.
So Lamar Miller. Think about that. Lamar Miller is the only three timer. I think he get three.
I think he got it every year, Lamar.
Who else? How,
by the way, Sammy Watkins is still 26 years old. Did he come into the league when he was nine?
Yes. He was the youngest guy of all those. I think he was a young 20, which is, it shows you how you could start struggling.
He's also, I mean, one of his powers is he's able to change his physical age, Dan, according to the article. So I think that, I'm not sure he's, I think he was older previously.
Is he Benjamin Buttoning the NFL right now?
I don't have more information.
Well,
but that's,
he believes, okay. You know, we've all, this is, you know, that we've all lived.
I'm going to Frank Schwab to find out more.
We've all lived, you know, multiple lives, and that he is like the dead version of him. He might be his son in his own body. He's the future and past.
He can do anything except have a consistent 1,000-yard season at any point.
How dare you.
And keep Doug Whaley employed.
Well, Doug Whaley... That is not Doug Whaley's only issue while in Buffalo, please.
I think the only man, Mark, you respect more than Sammy Watkins is Tom Brady.
No, I knew the minute that I like stood up for Sammy Watkins that I'd get killed on this.
It's not true.
I knew it would go. We're I know it would go wrong, but it's like
I'm not killing you.
Dan is
fun.
Not killing you. He was playing a rightful other side here.
So Greg saw that I was giving the contrarian side of it.
Not contrarian, but it was a voice that could be balanced. I agree. We were all
give a little balance.
Yeah.
If you read Frank Schwab's aggregate piece, he added some of that balance as well.
That's what Schwab does, man. I mean, that's how Frank does
He's
it.
He's been in the game for a long time, Schwab.
I remember 10, reading 15 him in like years. The Colorado Springs Gazette.
Yeah,
or
me
something
too.
Like that.
He's been in the game a long
He's
time.
He's not the Stump the Schwab guy, though.
No, different guy.
Different guy. Okay, good. In other news, who's even? They are looking to get things going. We mentioned Joe Judge. He's the rookie head coach over there. And Jason Garrett was hired as offensive coordinator. It was an interesting pairing. Here is what Judge had to say to Patricia Traina of Sports Illustrated. I think schematically the easiest way to describe our offense to the outside world right now is, you know, it's going to be similarly based on what Jason's done in Dallas. There's going to be some similarities, but it's got to cater to players we have on our roster. He said that actually on a Zoom call with reporters. Wes, is that good or bad for the Giants in 2020?
If I was a fan, it concerned me a little bit that what is Jason Garrett's offense? It was Scott Linehan's offense for a while. It was Kellen Moore's when they were finally good last year. What was Jason Garrett's? When's the last time he ran his own offense? And if he was, you know, a joint venture with Linehan, it would concern me that they were so unimaginative and everything had to run through the running back.
I think it was conservative. I mean, I think you look at the early years in Dallas when he kind of made his name, that was Garrett's offense. And yeah, it was very conservative, and it just brought to mind to me, Daniel Jones is a second-year quarterback who I think showed a lot of good and a lot of bad, and they're not going to have this offseason, and that doesn't – I wouldn't be excited about that as a Giants fan. You know, I'd be worried about Daniel – you know, you want Daniel Jones to take a big step up, but here he is having to learn a brand-new offense that, you know, may or may not be too aggressive.
I mean, is it crazy to think that the Giants certainly look like this kind of a team – in a Dallas-like offense with Saquon Barkley, but in general, a lot of teams, if there is no training camp the way that we would expect, that the run-heavy nature of the first 2 months of the season could be way off the charts compared to years past, as you're trying to get passing games even in sync. If you don't have the chance to do that.
We'll be watching 1973 football.
Yeah.
That would bother me.
I think if I was a Giants fan, I would be kind of okay with the idea of Saquon Barkley back at 100% being the lead dog in this offense. He is one of the few guys. He's on a very short list of running backs where I'd be like, I know the league goes in a different direction now, but let this man lead us and see where it takes us. But yeah, that all makes sense to me. I agree with you guys, especially with a new coaching staff in place and a rookie quarterback who, while, as Greg said, flashed a lot of mistakes, obviously needs more reps and more time to develop as a pro quarterback.
I mean, he's not bringing Tyron Smith and Travis Frederick and Zach Martin and the Cowboys offensive line with him. That's what I'd be worried about.
But to be fair to Garrett, he's going to have a lot more time to work on the offense because he's not the head coach anymore. So let's see if he grows and develops.
That's fair. And, of course, the Giants did use their first pick, fourth overall, on a franchise left tackle. Hopefully his name?
Andrew Thomas.
Andrew Thomas. Thank you, Greg. Nailed it.
It worries me that I wrote up that piece on our site after he was drafted, and I wanted to call him Andrew something else.
Wes, you were so plugged in writing those .com articles. I'm surprised. Yeah.
Another graybeard is off the board. His name is Prince Amukamara. We actually talked about this last week when we checked in on the old Top 101 rankings and talked about how there were several guys out there in the secondary that could help teams. Oh, very nice. So Prince Amukamara is a member of the Raiders, a former first-round pick.
Once upon a time.
Did time with the Bears. He is now a member of the Raiders, and that seems like a nice landing spot.
They needed some experience in the secondary at cornerback. They went for Byron Jones and didn't get him. They went for Eli Apple and had to renege on the contract, and now the third choice is Prince Amukamara, but they have so many rookies and second-year guys.
I thought it was a great pickup. Yeah, they have Damon Arnett, their first-round pick. They have an interesting safety group with Jonathan Abram, the Hard Knocks star who got hurt, who's now back. LaMarcus Joyner, who's kind of a safety, nickel corner, and Demarius Randall, former Brown. They are the team. I'm doing a projected starter series, by the way. Check that out, NFL.com/projected starters.
Plug it, baby.
AFC West comes out on Thursday, but they are the team, I think, more than any in the AFC, where I kind of was like, you know what? This team makes sense. Mayock's done a good job. It's a little better than I like it more than I expected. I kind of see them as one of those 6 or 7 seed type of playoff teams.
I'm with you. I mean, they crumbled down the stretch at the very end last year, but they were in position to potentially be a wild card last year with a roster full of holes. And, I mean, getting Abram back, to me, I think he could have been like a defensive rookie of the year candidate. I think they missed him so much last season.
Look good on paper. Mayock's doing his job.
We'll see what happens. Also, another cornerback that people like a lot that hadn't signed, Logan Ryan. The New York Daily News said that the Jets were going to sign him. The Dolphins are also in play, according to NFL Network.
Bro, the Dolphins going to play a linebacker?
That's a good question.
They got 73 cornerbacks.
You're stealing away from the Jets.
I guess. I mean, I don't know where you put him. Maybe they invent a new position for Logan Ryan, but we'll see where he lands. In other news, I mean, here's the thing about Dale Earnhardt. The man, he went out in a tragic way, but he went out doing what he loved, going around that circular.
The oval?
The big oval, as I call it.
The left turn circuit?
I mean, it is
crazy.
We
should all be so lucky.
It would be like if Jim Brown or Tom Brady died playing football. I mean, I know it's not the same thing, the auto racing.
No, I'll take it up a notch.
It's crazy.
Greg, and we're not making light of this. It's like if one of an all-time iconic player died in the Super Bowl.
Right.
It was like NASCAR's biggest race.
Well,
and like the last lap.
I remember talking to a guy I played softball against back in, what was it, 97 when this happened, 96? And
it's 2001.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was in the 90s. And I remember this guy said, I was all broke up when my mom died, but it was nothing compared to this.
My memory's wrong, too. I thought it was in the summer of
97. I want to hear more about this guy.
Yeah, I don't know about this guy. His mother.
That's how big Dale Earnhardt. I mean, NASCAR was at its peak then. That was as high as
February 18th, 2001. It was the Daytona 500.
I doubt that it ever got more popular than it did then. NASCAR was peaking, and everybody was an Earnhardt fan.
Well, I think that freaked out a lot of casual fans, I would imagine. They did change a lot of safety rules to after that.
And at the Cozy, our favorite neighborhood bar near the office that we used to work at before that ended forever, there was a giant number 3 Intimidator poster on the wall. So the man even finds himself in an area like Los Angeles.
Mm. Well, the Cozy seems like they might be into NASCAR to some degree, or elements of the Cozy. Probably down with that. Well, I'm and Greg.
Well, it's really my son Walker, but his favorite guy, what is his name? Alex Bowman. He's part of the Dale Earnhardt Racing team. So they're still going strong. 88 though, not number 3.
That's cool, man.
We're gonna get a text from Dan after this show. I think generally complaining about the show. I can feel it.
What do you
heading
mean?
Our way.
I
don't know.
It. We're having this
I don't know.
Good talk.
We're gonna get tweets from NASCAR fans though.
According to official sales figures, the navy blue version of CD Lamb's number 88 is currently the 14th best-selling jersey in the league. It's higher than any rookie that doesn't play quarterback, and it's better than any quarterback, any non-current quarterback not named Gronk. How about that?
Wow. Well, that's Cowboys, you know. Cowboys got a
Cowboys.
Cowboys
are always on in primetime.
But it's also, it's as, yeah. Is there a more iconic, you know, number that's at least a non-quarterback number for any position in any team than 88 with the Cowboys?
Good
Irvin,
call.
Dez, Drew Pearson, who am I forgetting? And now
Pearson
CeeDee
is,
Lamb.
A lot of people think Pearson should have been the last guy to wear number 88. And then Dez became a star.
Right, it does
hard.
Feel like jerseys
like he had been
that
destined.
You, right, you'd retire 88 for some of the for what these guys did, but it's that's not an option with Dallas. I think Greg is right. I can't think of another non QB.
Well, you know what they end up getting more pop because we wouldn't be talking about like they keep passing it. I remember Irvin saying that more. It's like they talk about. I'm not going to do an Irvin impression. They talk about me more basically because they you know because Dez is wearing it because they're always talking about the legacy.
This would
know?
Have been way more interesting if you did an Irvin.
Do Irv.
Give us an Irvin.
Do Irv.
I'd be afraid it's too close to TD's mom, so I'm not going to.
She was Jamaican.
Like, if you wear number 88 and you're a wide receiver on the Cowboys, you punch your ticket to the Hall of very good.
Yeah, you better be good.
All right,
I'll take that.
So I just Googled it. I wouldn't have remembered this off the top of my head. The only problem is, you know, you got to be careful. They gave it to Antonio Bryant for 2 years. I don't even remember him on the Cowboys. So they can't all be winners.
No, they can't. There's one other rookie to appear in the top 20. Jerry Jeudy. So the Broncos fans up there, they're always a passionate fan base and always filling up that big stadium. They're excited.
Who's number one? I used to write this article. I remember.
I think Tua's
back
number
in the day.
One, isn't he?
Tua tops the list. His number one is number one on the sales chart, and his white jersey is in second place. So
wow.
Tua fever down there in South Florida.
Is this just rookies or all? Does it include like Tom Brady
this is everybody.
And Tampa? Wow.
All the different color combos of. Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he's ranked 3rd through 6th. He has to be the Jordan of jersey movement all time in the NFL at this point because he's been around forever. Mm-hmm. All those Pats fans wore out their 1st and 2nd Brady jerseys and got another one probably. And a uniform changes, and now he goes to Tampa, and everybody's buying all these, you know, pewter and white ones. Let's fly.
Well, you got to buy it now before, you know, before he's benched for who's their backup right now?
Blaine Gabbert,
you know.
We've seen that happen before.
Let's see. Where else? Rob Gronkowski, his Tampa jerseys are both jerseys 7th and 9th. And Wes, Joe Burrow, the black number 9, sitting in 8th place. Cincinnati's going crazy. The West Side, they are catching that Bengals fever. How about your family? How about you getting realigned with your family in a big spot?
Well, my family is aligned as non-Bengals fans.
Not everyone. There's a couple of them that like the Bengals, aren't there? A couple of your brothers?
I would love to go to a Wessling family reunion and actually have conversations with each of the Wessling brothers to see where they come down in this. I think there's some Bengals fans in that mix.
I don't think you're going to find much support. I think maybe in the years when they do well, you'll catch a couple of them hoping they win. But I don't think most years you're going to find much support.
Hmm. What is this trend of like Tom Brady pewter is number 4 and Tom Brady white is number 5? This is a new – I'm not into that, you know. Let's just add them up together.
He's so popular that people are buying the different versions. What's wrong with that?
We never used to know the different versions.
They didn't break it out to such an extent, right?
It's too much.
Oh,
you don't like uniforms.
You're saying those should be combined, and he should be listed as number one potentially. If
yeah, that's how they that right. must be how they used to do it with like home and away and all this stuff. I mean, come on,
seems are we talking signal that
are we talking Rams uniforms? Did that get squashed or not? I mean, this would be the time.
Nah, if anybody's pumped up about the Rams uniforms, go ahead, fire away.
I would say this: I like them better than a lot of people seem to on Twitter. I mean, they got pretty savaged. The numbers look a little weird to me, but I can warm up to them more than their previous ones. To be honest, I got a little sick of the old Rams.
I think I saw a lot, or at least some very positive ones too. It seemed like it was like all or nothing, which is kind of what the uniform take business has become. It's either just like, okay, fire, you know, and like every, like, this is great. Or it's like, I wouldn't wear this if, like, you know, I wouldn't give this to a homeless person. This is, you know, this is trash. Like, it's never just like, oh, yeah, these are pretty good uniforms.
I totally agree. And that's, I think, what burnt me out on this stuff. I used to care about this stuff. And then I guess I worked for the company too long and wrote too many articles. And now that's all it just annoys me because there's no such take as, oh, these are pretty good. I like these. I didn't like that as much. It's either these are super fire or it's like, oh, CFL uniform, anybody?
Hold on, though. Greg opened his argument about the Rams saying that along with the negative comments, there were positive comments.
Yeah, I'm saying there were some really aggressive, like, yes, these are like incredible. But yeah, it's never just like, oh, yeah, uniforms are good.
You can't go on Twitter and say these uniforms are all right. Who's going to pay attention to you?
Right. It's time for Twitter needs to be furloughed. I mean, that's what I need to furlough right now. Put that thing on break for a month, please.
I like the bone uniform. The helmet was cool. Beyond that, I can't really criticize what I don't understand.
Right, yeah.
The gradient stuff on the numbers, I have no idea what's going on there. Like, a lot of the stuff, I just don't even understand it.
Ellis, my daughter, Herbert's. Is a legit big Rams fan. And, you know, the one thing with her is that she's just confused. Like, the logo is is confusing to her. She's like, isn't that a Chargers? Like, and I just think, like, when you're creating some confusion, the logo, that one logo is just a little confusing, I think. That's the killer. The uniforms are nice.
Everybody says nobody cares about the Chargers, but Justin Herbert's powder blue number 10 is 12th overall.
Well, everyone who had a Rivers jersey can't really is not going to be able to wear that the same way. And quick, get the new quarterback's number.
It'd be number one overall if they had a bigger fan base. Those jerseys are sweet.
And also in the top 15, and this again, Mark, speaks to the amount of respect this man has engendered through the years. A woman's version of Tom Brady's jersey is also in the top 15.
Yeah, the one thing that I really trust about Tom Brady is just who he is as a person.
A lot of people agree.
I think number one, that is accurate. I don't like the way it's been treated on this show at all.
Ricky, would you wear a Tom Brady Bucks jersey?
No, I wouldn't. I want to like support him, but nah.
Because of the kind of person he is, Erica.
Yeah, I mean, his just dedication to the craft, especially in the off season, is just something that we all really can respect.
It's paramount. Mm.
So why don't you get a Jared Stidham number, 47 or whatever it is?
Because I'm not going to get it, and then if he's not going to be the quarterback, especially what Wes.
Yeah, but show
about.
Some faith in the great genius Belichick that he knows all, and he's been. Playing everybody, the rope-a-dope the whole time. This kid can play. Get the jersey. That's how you show off your, Patriot fan bona fides.
No, I'm going to wait a little bit, and then Cam Newton will still be on the market, and then Belichick's going to whittle him down to, play for free, and then that's what's going to happen.
Ricky's got her finger on the pulse of the Patriots.
Yeah.
She's got it.
I'm embedded.
Speaking of Cam Newton, we're going to talk about Cam on next week's show and what's going on with the former MVP. Also, I think we're going to begin our new series, and I think people are going to like this. We're going to start now with all this downtime and no actual workouts, and the things are going to be pretty slow. So we said, why don't we take a closer look at different teams across the league and kind of dedicate part or most of a show to one team, and we'll – I know what everyone thinks. Oh, you guys are going to talk about the Jets and the Browns and the Patriots and Wes's Broncos. But that is not how this is going to go. This is going to be completely done at random. Ricky, jump in a second. Our one of our favorite Shadowy League figures, Mark Brady, he's got to have budget money spilling out of his ears right now, right? I imagine during these times.
Yeah.
But connect with him. And if you could find out, I wanted to actually get a physical wheel that we could spin with all 32 teams on it. And then wherever whatever it lands. So we'll spin it every Monday at the end of the show. This is what I was thinking. Spin it every Monday at the end of the show. And then wherever it lands, we then have 2 days to plan for a show involving that team on Wednesday. We reach out to beat guys we like. We do our own internal research for each team, and then we hit it hard. But it would be good to have a physical prop to be able to do the selection process.
Yeah, Dan, I think you should put on a mask and go to Staples and get some.
You're the producer.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm talent, Ricky. I'm talent.
Right.
You need to go. You gotta hit the pavement, and you gotta thumb it over to the Home Depot or wherever you gotta go and get us set up with a wheel.
Area man sends 28-year-old female in coronavirus pandemic to get cardboard at Staples.
Feels like an HR matter to me.
You could order it.
HR doesn't
exist
anymore.
Delivery. You could get it delivered. True. You get it delivered.
Oddly enough, not the first time we've needed a wheel for an episode. So this is justified spending.
Oh, that's right. The Wheel of Destiny will return at some point, but this is very different. So Erica, I'm very serious about this, though. Like sometimes
you're
dismissive when I bring you in on these things.
Yeah.
When I'm asking you to do some production work behind the scenes, because I know it does impact your day of petting your dog and sitting on the couch. But I need your help here.
What about the wine?
Is that what you think my day entails?
Well, I'm not totally off, am I?
I mean, yeah.
I really do, and Wes isn't a great person to ask because he has a very pregnant woman with him. I really do have, I'm curious about people going through this pandemic that don't have children. Is it really quiet? Is boredom the biggest issue you have? Because I can't even imagine a world where it's quiet in this house ever.
Yeah, no, doing a lot of reading, doing a lot of cocktail making.
Big books, right?
Yeah, big books. Been reading big books. I sit by my pool while I edit. You know, things are tough.
You have a pool?
That's cool that you have a pool.
Yeah.
It's like the entire apartment complex has it, or what?
No, just my apartment has a pool.
Well, there are, I mean.
What? So I'm saying, are other people like in the pool?
No.
Or you
no,
don't
no.
really have a pool?
No, I have a pool.
Like a Melrose Place.
That's what I'm saying. But like, you're not.
Reference
like,
that you don't understand.
Yeah, so you're so are other people like hanging by the pool?
No, no one ever is by that. I don't know. Maybe people are scared, but
well, because you're there, and so they don't want it.
Exactly.
You can't have anyone too close to you if you're there.
Right.
Plus, you have all this equipment all around you, and they fear to be electrocuted.
Right. Yeah, I'm editing on a floaty, like bikini on, like. Come on in, boys. The water's great.
I mean,
maybe a little bit later.
The caste system is alive when it comes to coronavirus. I mean, there is so much toxic noise in my house that I'm ready just to like get into some sort of self-started accident just to ride in a quiet ambulance somewhere for like an hour. Take me to a hospital like, you know, 3 hours away. I don't even know
you don't
want
to go
about,
to a hospital, though.
Yeah.
Well, then ambulance me to a field.
My home has been.
All right. That's problematic, too. But okay. Just like an open field by yourself?
Yeah,
yes.
They don't have enough to do right now. Just, hey, let's bring old Mark on a joyride.
My home has been quiet 24 hours a day, and I love it. I don't think boredom has been a factor in my life very often. I just love the quietness.
Well, don't get too used to it.
Right? Oh,
that's just sticking that knife in.
Well, hey, I had plenty of years to live it up. It's my time to be less selfish.
This is the last dance for Chris Wessling.
Oh yeah, it's all
because
over.
You know, Lakeisha, she's not going to be all set at one either.
Hmm.
Well, she may need a break.
I've already nailed the prediction of when multiple setups in your life, engagement, marriage, and baby one. I already have baby two in my mind. I don't want to, I want to cross that bridge when we get to it. We're going to wait for Cletus Wessling. And then I'm going to let you know when baby two arrives because I already have it locked in my head. Unless you want to know it right now, Wes.
Yeah, I'm waiting to know when I'm going to have another pregnant wife. I mean,
I was going to say a second individual who's pregnant would be troubling.
My new family planner, Dan Hansis.
Your second child will arrive. All right, so the first one's being born at the end of this month. So let's just say June 1st, 2020. And then it's a 9 to 10 month gestation process.
Ten.
Just
I guess if this baby is still in her womb in June, Keisha's going to have some issues.
Really?
She wants the baby out now. Right now.
That was audible.
Child number two will arrive in March 2022.
March 2022.
I think that makes sense.
Book it.
All right.
You hear that, LaKeisha?
Keisha, March 2022. Now she's not eavesdropping.
No, come on.
It's a girl.
Oh, now she's looking at the calendar.
All right. Good stuff. Mark, you think there's going to be a text? Now, is it as structured as I like a show to be? No. But I think it was a fun conversation. Good to just catch up with everybody.
Yeah, there'll be a text of some sort. I mean, I've probably lowered the chances, but we all know what you're thinking.
Did you not think this was a good show?
I think it set some wheels in motion, I'll tell you that much.
Is that a threat?
Who's on the revenge list, too? Because I know you said Erica and then Greg. Did I miss the cut? Because I had nothing to do with that. I want to make that very clear.
You made a comment.
I don't think anyone is safe. Wes is probably the safest. Yes. I didn't hear him digging in on this front. You know, you did your little Dan thing where you kept it going. kept it going. And so you're on the list.
Your little Dan thing.
You know, I mean, held back specifically to stay off the list.
Well, unlike your uniform takes, it's not all like fire or roses. There's going to be some people that are dealt with in the middle of that spectrum. Some will receive. And, you know, this may arrive at the end of the summer when no one's thinking about it. You've got a whole new host of things on your plate. And then suddenly out of the sky comes this.
I knew I was in trouble when I withdrew my submission to the Sammy Watkins fan club.
You're firmly on the list.
Firmly. It's worth it. All right. Next time you see us and hear from us, it will be on NFL Network. It is our second episode of the latest relaunch of the Around the NFL broadcast, and it airs 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. You could check it out on Game Pass also if you're subscribed to that. Is the Game Pass subscription thing, is that still free right now? Is that still the tease? Are they still doing the free preview? I don't even know. Wasn't that a thing?
Need Henry for that one, but I believe so.
It was originally I thought it was through the end of May originally, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
Somewhere in May, so we're right on the borderline.
But you could watch it on television. You could watch it on Game Pass if you have that service, which we highly recommend in general. And please check it out and support the show because we could use it. All right. This is Dan Hansa signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, The Old Boss, and Ricky Hollywood, and that peace and quiet in West Hollywood, poolside. Till Friday.